Amen. This morning, church, we're going to talk about our faith a little bit. And I want to start by asking, what does your faith say about you? I know we all claim to be Christians, and we are. But I don't want to talk to you today about the collective faith. I want to talk about you individually. What does your faith, your belief in God? When I ask that question, I'm not asking you to reflect and stack up numbers. I'm talking about how you feel about God, your trust with God, your connection with God. What does your faith say about you? It's vital that we take that from time to time, because then we're able to connect with God in a real meaningful way. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 3 through 5, all of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water. For they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. These are the Israelites Paul is talking about. Now these Israelites were drinking the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water, for they drank from the same spiritual rock, Jesus Christ. But for some reason, they did not please God. For some reason. You have to figure out what reason it is for you. If that's the case. But I say this because we all hear the word of God. We all pray to the same God. We all have communion, I hope, to God. And sometimes we're not just pleasing Him. What gets in the way? There's a lot. But I have put a chain there that simply says the main thing is your trust with God. That's the main issue. When your trust with God is not in the right place, it's very hard to have faith that is meaningful. And let's face it, most people have lost trust in many things. They have lost trust. Some people have lost trust altogether in themselves and what God can do with them. They have every reason to why God cannot work with them. So this morning, I'd like us to talk about faith and how that works. And we'll stay with Hebrews chapter 11. Let's see. Here we go. Here. Without faith, we are narrow-minded. I'll explain that in a minute. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Then it says, through their faith, the people in days of old and a good reputation, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Let us understand this for a moment. That everything you see today was formed out of something you could not see. You understand that? But if that is the case, the way we live our lives today, we interpret everything by the things we see. Then are we in faith? We're not in faith at all. When all we do is determine things by what we have experienced or see, he says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. That this universe was created from something that was not there. Church, here's a question for all of us. Why are we held back in our faith? We're held back in our faith. We really live in a society that explains everything with what they've seen, based on experience, based on statistics. So because of that, we are held the same place. It's very possible that though this is what the Bible says, you have never interrogated that question for yourself. I said, do I believe in things God has never done before? Or do I believe that I'll be in the same space because this is me, this is my life? We'll talk about that in a moment. You get narrow-minded, very narrow-minded, because you're narrow to what you see. You cannot see beyond what God cannot see. I mean, beyond what you cannot see. God can see everything, but you can be so narrow to what you see. And I say, what? God can accomplish way more than what you can see. And that becomes a big question. Do you believe that? Because this universe you see today was created from nothing. He says, let there be light. Before that, there was no light. Let there be the fish. Let there be human beings. There was nothing before that. God was creating stuff out of nothing. We live in a world that creates stuff out of something. So we are conditioned, socialized to believe there must be something before God does something. We even want to know, how will that happen? God says, you trust me. You trust me and I'll work it out. So we have to lift our faith beyond what can be seen. That is a tough place for many of us. And yet, I can tell you today that I know tomorrow most people are going to school. You can do well in school irrespective of what last year was like. But you got to have faith. I know some are going to college soon. You got to have faith that God will walk with you in that direction. Amen? I know some of us just began jobs. You got to have faith that God will show you how to manage that job. Amen? I know some of us just, we aren't sure about the whole situation, but we've got to have faith. Faith is a foundation of your relationship with God. That because I trust God, God will work it out. Now, here's the caveat. The idea that you have faith in God does not insure you from trouble. That trouble always comes either way. Does that make sense? Make sense? No, I need to take two on this one. The idea that because you have faith doesn't mean trouble is not coming your way. Actually, trouble helps you get a fortitude of faith. Because now you ask yourself, which way will I go with your God? So too many people are discouraged, giving up. Why? Because somehow I had faith, but it went the wrong way. What if the wrong way is what God is trying to say? I need to get you out of here to give you another hope. You see, because we are so focused on now, so focused on here, when God is challenging us, giving it a rough ride a little bit, we give up easily. We're not seeing the work of God. We need to begin to have a connection with God that sees God even in tough times. Amen? So let's talk about this for a moment. Faith leads to pleasing God. So when you have understood that aspect, that out of nothing, God can make something, out of even in the world, even in places where you think there's no way God will make something out of it, you've got to have faith. That is what keeps you trusting, that's what keeps you praying, that's what keeps you in the Word of God. When you understand that, then you have to come to this. Faith leads to pleasing God. It is by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was righteous. He was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gift. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. That nobody had ever done what he was doing. But because he believed God, he was going to do the right thing. It cost him a life. Being righteous made his brother so envious, he killed him. But he was doing the right thing because of God. And he said, because of that, he speaks to us this day. You see, when you're living in faith, you give your best. I'll take two on that one. When you're living on faith, you give your best. Is it possible that you just settled for mediocrity? Mediocre lifestyle, mediocre home, mediocre marriage, mediocre single life. Everything is just, let's see what happens. God, our favorite language is God willing. God is willing for you to do well, but you got to go through stuff. God willing is not an excuse to say, well, God willing, but I'm doing nothing. I have no faith. That is my exit line, God willing. I'm stepping away from the line of have faith. God is calling you to have faith. Have faith in good times. Have faith in difficult times. You got to have faith. This man we read about today tells us that he had faith. He's never been done before. And that was a tithing situation. And that can be the same with any other situation. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. The desire to people please, to fit in the crowd, to be the same like everybody else, takes away the identity that God created you to be. Don't go back to school and be like everybody else. Don't go back to work and be like everybody else. Be what God wants you to be. Be what God wants you to be. Many of us are unhappy, totally unhappy. Why? Because we will not claim the promises of God in Scripture. That is just the truth. And you think you're unhappy because of your circumstance. No, no. It's because you will not claim the promises of God in Scripture. And when you want to, the challenges that come your way make you back down. And the Bible is saying, wait a minute. This man here, he was pleasing God. This week, as I did different things, I caught myself not pleasing God. It's just the way I thought. Something I said, you know, I really need to work on this. I need to please God as a person. Why did I have to say that? Was that pleasing to God? How did I react? You know, the plane got canceled at some point, and I really, inside me, I was welling with anger. I said, what is wrong with this airline? And I just said, you know what? I just need to focus on God right now. What are you focused on? What are you focused on? Are you focused on money? The Bible says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That's a promise. But it goes the other way. What are you focused on? Come to me and learn from me. That's what Jesus says, not me, but to come to Jesus. And He says, you learn, my yoke is easy. You get the peace from that understanding. What is going on really in your life? Where has your faith gone in that area? You see, we have to get faith, but you have to come and hear what God is saying. In verse 6, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists. Do you believe that God exists? You say, yes. I check your language. How do you speak? By accident. By coincidence. You don't speak God. I didn't know about it. It just happened. You don't talk about God. Your language doesn't say, I prayed about it, and man, God answered me. I was walking about this place, and I prayed, God, make this happen. And God did that to me. We don't talk like that. We talk very different. Man, if you see our text, that's a different ballgame. We're not even finishing the words anymore. We're not even saying what God is saying in our text. You're like, you got to figure it out. There's a code going on there. What about God? Just bring God up. Our language speaks a lot. You say, I believe in God. How does your language say that? What does your language say on a day-to-day basis? If you believe that God exists, do you talk like God exists? You believe that God exists, but you talk like God is a God you only talk to a certain time, but God is 24/7. How is your God? He needs to be your anchor. You go there. You put your anchor close to Him, then you figure out how to live life. You put your anchor away from God, it's confusing. It's not clear. Why? Because you're not close to God. Don't confuse being close to God by just doing things. It's the fact that you believe He exists. It's the fact that you please Him, that you do what He says you should do. And it says, and that reward those, that, and let me take from verse 6, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to become who wants to come to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. It's a sincere journey, brothers and sisters. It's a sincere walk. No strings attached. You're not coming to God for a resolution for one thing. It has to be sincere. It's very, if you're not sincere with God, it doesn't work. You know, you can't try and trick God. God is not trickable. He is able to see everything. You can't trick God. He can see your heart, your motive before you operate. It has to be sincere, and then God comes through. Sincere friends are scarce. God is not like that. He can be your friend either way. James says, if you pray and ask, He'll give it to you without finding fault. Even though you're not the best you are, God will still walk with you. Does that make sense? So stop trying to prove yourself first. Come to God sincerely, and He'll walk through your issues one at a time. And you come around. It's possible to be stuck because you're not working with God sincerely. You're almost saying, God, just take this away and I'll be fine. And God says, I want to take that away by you coming to me, and I will begin walking that journey with you gradually, step by step, until you come to a place of healing. Does that make sense? So we can't wait on God just being a part. We've got to come to Him and see that He's going to work this out. Faith takes us to a new height of life. You know, life is very interesting. If you're not conscious or you're not conscientious about how you're living, you can be in the same space and just get used to that space. Even get used to a point of thinking that's the way life should be. When I say space, I don't mean house, I don't mean car, I mean your emotional, spiritual strength. I mean how you sense God, how you can discern what's right and wrong, how you can design your where you are in your space spiritually. That's what I mean. When you have that in the right place, other things are easy to do. And if we don't take that right, it can be hard. So let's talk about this man. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God and warned him about the things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world and received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God who warned him about things that had never happened before. That's a new height. It's never happened before, but he trusted God that if God says it, it will happen. How long did it take to build a boat? That's a question. Okay, you go study that one out. You go figure that out. How many inches were they? Go figure that out. I figure that this church has got to get to know the Bible. Amen? You will not have faith if you don't know the Bible, people. You will not have faith by sitting down and says, okay, I'm going to psych myself. Let's see what happens. It's not a game. It's a life. It's not a 90-minute game. It's not a... No, it's a life. You'll have to go figure out. Go figure out how long did it take. It'll be good. You'll figure out how different that was. He took that time and built it. Everybody else was laughing and saying, what's wrong with this guy? They would come and just laugh at him and say, why are you building this? Nothing's going to happen. They laughed at him. You may have some friends that tend to think you're a crazy person. Why do you believe in God? That's old-fashioned. No, God is not old-fashioned. God is ancient. God's not old-fashioned. He's ancient. He's been there way before time. And we understand that, we stick with God. He'll take you to a different height. The more the world becomes what it is today, the more we need God. The more we need God. And yet, it's very possible that as a Christian, you're walking away from God, that you're not very close to God. That you come to church, yes, you pray, amen, but you're not very, you don't have a faith that speaks to you personally. Yet he did that when everybody else was saying, well, you're a crazy guy. What are you doing? You know, when people say you're crazy and you know you're connected to God, you can get peace. But when people say you're crazy and you're not sure and you start going away, then you've got a question. How much do you know God? Why are you doubting your faith? What's going on there? Is there sin? Is there doubt? Where is that coming from? Figure that out. And you can figure that out when you're in the Word of God. Faith takes us to a new height of life. Don't settle. Let's talk about that for a minute. Faith does not settle. Hebrews 11, verse 8, 10. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. Are you kidding? Yeah, you need to go. Where? Just go. Trust me, I am God. I'm saying, just go. Sometimes you can read that and do foolish things. Be faithful, not foolish. Does that make sense? Obey God, do the right thing, not foolish things. If I stand in the middle of 85 and say God will take care of me, that's foolish. Say, I'm covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, I'll be covered in my own blood. That's foolish. Faithful is I'm going to obey the rules and get on that place with a functioning vehicle, but trying to get somewhere. Does that make sense? Now, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Here's our Achilles heel spiritually. We pray for things, we get those things, and we settle. Abraham got there and he didn't settle. He said, wait a minute, I live like a man in the tent. The idea that spiritually I'm doing well, I settle, it's not accurate. The more you get where God has called you to, a new chapter begins. There are always chapters in life, chapter after chapter. So there are those of us who cannot wait to finish school. Yes, you finish school, a new chapter of college begins.
There are those of us who want to finish college. Yes, finish college. A new chapter begins. Paying taxes come your way. There are those of us who want to get done and get retired. Yes, grandchildren come in your way. And then grandchildren come your way. Yes, a new chapter comes. Health challenges. And we start struggling a little bit. You're chasing a mirage if you're chasing comfort on earth. Comfort is in heaven. Don't settle. Don't settle. The reason we're so tired is the reason we look for entertainment all the time is entertainment, because we want to settle. I want just to have fun. Wait a minute. Have faith. I have nothing against fun, but have faith. Have faith. Don't settle. And God will take you to the next level. Too many people are looking just to settle. If I get my mansion, if I get my this, get that, but don't settle. Keep going. Grow in your faith. Talk to people about God. Baptize someone. But that's not the end of the story. Help them to make it to heaven. Have a friendship with that person. So Abraham was that kind of a person. He didn't settle. Abraham was confident, looking forward to a city where internal foundation, a city designed and built by God. He was heaven bound. You see, when you are thinking about heaven, you don't settle with material stuff. And yet as Christians, sometimes we settle into the world very quickly. The world looks at us and says, how different are you? You hardly say anything about God. How different are you? You operate like me. We've got to be more like Jesus Christ in the world to help the world know Jesus. It's okay to get all this stuff, but we've got to be heaven mind, have a heaven mindset. That's when we get there. So don't settle. Don't settle in your life. Expose what you've settled. You've settled to the fact that I've not done anything meaningful, and I'm okay with that. Keep going. Maybe you just got married. That's the beginning of a life. Connect, know each other. There's a whole world ahead of you. There's much we can do together. Faith believes God over reality. Let's talk about our realities. Your reality is that you have no money in the account. That's your reality, right? Your reality is that your car is on E when you got here today. You're not sure how you're gonna get home, whatever stuff. That's the reality you may be having. Your reality is that you don't have many friends. Or no friends, you feel alone. That's just another reality. Your reality is that children are acting up. That's your reality. Your reality is that your health is acting up. Your reality is, hey, parents are acting up. Just acting up. We don't want to deal with these parents. They got crazy. That's your reality. Your reality is, I just don't seem to have a vision of what needs to go. That's your reality. You can have all kind of realities that are playing your way. Look at what the Bible says. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child. Though she was barren and was too old, she believed that God would keep his promise. She was over how many years old? How many years old was she when she gave birth? 90? 100? 99? What was she? Steve? 90? There's an argument. You can check in the scriptures and confirm which one it is. It's 90. You need to know that stuff, okay? Why? How do you give birth at 90? It's not going to happen. Right? Humanistically. Reality. But God says, she believed that God would keep his promise. She believed that. She did believe that. I have a question for you. Do you believe that God can overcome your reality? That's the question. If you really believe that, let me ask that question again. Do you believe that God can overcome your reality? Okay. Those who believe are saying amen. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand of the seashore. There is no way to count them. That was the hard reality, but God overcame it. Is it possible that the reason you go nowhere is somehow deep down in your heart, you've given up on God? You say all the right stuff, but deep down in your head, you're like, I'm not sure God can do that. I mean, you know you can be fruitful. You can help someone become a disciple. You know that, right? Well, you look at me like, what is he talking about? Yeah, you know you can help someone become a disciple, right? But you have to have faith. It won't happen just because you say it. You have to have faith and pray about it. Does that make sense? You know that you can eventually turn around your financial situation, right? Yeah, but you have to have faith and go to all these good classes we organize and get things turned around. Does that make sense? You know that you can turn around your life, whatever it is, and you have to have faith about that. It's not good enough to agree. You have to have faith. And that faith comes from hearing the Word of God, especially your private one, not just the one I talk about here. I try to stoke your fire so that you can go and make it happen. Faith knows God is enough without waiting on results. This is another one we do pretty good. All these people died still believing that God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. Let's stop there for a moment. These people had faith throughout their life and did not see the results of what they were looking for, but saw it in the distance. We have the advantage of reading about the fulfillment of everything they believed about. They didn't see it, but they believed that God will do it. That is the epitome of trusting God and being selfless. I have another question. Do you only trust God for things you want to see? Or do you trust God for things that will happen before you're born? I mean, after you're long gone. Because that says a lot about us. Do we just pray for what we can see? Or way after we are gone, God do amazing things? And I was in a funeral this week. It was quite eye-opening. People shared about this lady who died and how she just gave her life. She was a disciple. She was reaching out to people, and she loved tons of people. And one of the things that happened in that funeral is that people wrote notes about how she had, people that have never met her, or some did, just how she had impacted them. And how far she had gone into the future. Not just her family, but the community. And how she had either helped someone go to school or do something here, always there, just smiling, just the people she touched. Way after she had gone, and I was so convicted, I asked myself, what will my life count for when I'm long gone? Church, it's easy to live for here and now and forget that we're heaven bound. We have to have ourselves immersed with God to have that perspective. If not, we lose it. And we just become like the world. We live for the pleasure of the day, for the hour. We've got to rise above these pleasures and be about God. That is when we touch the world. Because the world is trapped in that pleasure world. It needs something different. And that is what we got to do. They did this. They died without seeing it. But they knew it was coming. But they were looking for a better place. Heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he has prepared a city for them. What would you rather have? A bit of a challenging life for 60, 70 years and an eternity of good life? Or something quasi nice of 60 years, an eternity of pain and hell? I'd rather take the other one. These are small challenges of life. Does that make sense? So I wanted to put that there because many of us can wait on results and judge God on a result. There are things that God knows you're not ready.
You're not ready. Most people ask for things. God gives them whatever they want, they disappear. I've seen people that say, God, give me this. And then when God gave them that, they left God. And I said, we prayed. We asked God to give you that stuff. Now you got the stuff. You're gone. The only reason you're here was, I need God for this.
That is not the way it works. Stick with God. Because the cyclical nature of that it will end. And then what happens? You've got to stick with God in good times and in bad times. Not for results. You've got to stick with God in good times and in bad times. That's when your character grows, your faith grows, your relationship with God becomes bigger than what you're getting from God. It's sincere. And when you're tested, like Job was tested and said, take everything away from him, he still stood the time. Bless you. Faith sees God in difficult circumstances. We've touched that a little bit. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Gone a bit longer here. Isaac was when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promise, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. You know the story that God told him to go and sacrifice Isaac. He began walking, got to the mountain, and tied him up, and had to lift the knife before God says, let it go. I'll provide a sacrifice. Many of us are waiting for God to provide the sacrifice at the bottom of the mountain. We haven't climbed yet. Climb the mountain. Some of us are midway. We say, God, show me. No, get to the top. You get to the top, say, God, show me, I'm on the top. Tie him up. God, show me. Lift the knife. Then we know you're ready. Then we know you're ready. Where are you waiting on God to show you? Difficult circumstances should not hold you back. Stay with God. God will show you what you need to do. Faith is God in difficult circumstances. That's what he did. My only son. My wife was 90, and now I'm going to kill my son. And God still says, figuratively speaking, he got his son back. So that is our fear. We like to be in control. This was no control. He finally lost control. All along he had some control, but at the end he had no control. If you're in control, most likely you're not trusting God. When you lose it, not lose it because of lack of self-control, lose it to God and have control from God, then you really win that battle. Amen? Understand that's how you beat that battle. I pray that today you can begin a journey of faith. It'll start by you being in the Word of God on a daily basis. God bless you.